by a dog belonging to a neighbour while playing on a green with friends. Neighbours managed to pull the dog off him. The dog, understood to be a American bully, has been killed. And of course, this, as it always does with such an awful case, sparks a conversation about dog ownership. The responsibility of ownership. Kathleen Murray is a dog expert and joins us on the programme now. Kathleen, thanks for taking the call today.
You're welcome, Greg.
I suppose, how many instances like this are we going to hear about? How many people are going to have to carry life-changing injuries or in some cases be killed before we start maybe having a more useful conversation about dog ownership and the responsibility of it?
Yeah, sometimes you feel like you're beating your head against a wall when you're trying to convince people how dangerous situations can become. And this is a very serious incident that happened here to this child. That child could have been killed if the neighbours hadn't gotten the dog off. Now, I can't comment on the actual happening of it because I don't know if the dog got loose accidentally, if the dog was already out running free or what the situation was. So I don't know any of those details. But when you have a dog, you know, it's an incredible responsibility. Mm. And, you know, when you get a car or you start to drive, you have to have a license. There's learning, there's tests, there's things to get there. But when you get a license for a dog, there's none of that. I mean, you don't have to show that you can control a dog. You don't have to show that you know anything at all about a dog. So, you know, there's a lot of people getting dogs and they just don't know enough about the dogs. And the bully breed is only a recent breed, really. It only came in the 1990s, and it was a cross between the better sides of the pit bulls and the Staffordshire Bull Terriers. There was a few dogs in the mix. But and I've worked with bullies, and they've been some of the nicest and best dogs I've ever worked with. They're incredibly intelligent dogs. So it still always comes back to who's handling them, who actually is working with these dogs, who's not working with these dogs. You know, what are they letting them do? They're very friendly, great family dogs. Definitely, they're really, really good family dogs. But no dog is good outside of its own family unless it's been socialised and it's either a happy-go-lucky dog, because there's a lot of dogs of different personalities. You could have 10 children and they're all of different personalities. Dogs are the same, different personalities. So you need to know what you're working with. Some are a little more hard-headed than others. Some are a little more timid and shy and nervous than others. So, you know, it depends on the dog that you're actually working with. So you need to know who you're working with to start with, and then to tailor their learning to that personality, basically.
Before we talk more about that, though, before we talk more about that, and we'll tease through that, Kathleen, can any dog be trusted 100%?
Absolutely not. And when I see dogs advertised as good with children, I just want to cry. You want to pull your hair out, because there's no dog on this planet that's good with children unless they are either brought up with children or have some experience around children. And even then, even with my own dogs who were doing education in schools where there was children petting them and touching them all the time, even then you would never, ever in your wildest dreams leave a dog alone with a child, because you just don't know when an accident is going to happen. You have to be thinking ahead all the time, you know. It's a very serious situation when you've got children and dogs together. They're like magnets to each other. They can overexcite each other. And when a dog could be calm, and then as soon as the dog gets overexcited, that can actually turn into an attack.
Mm. Now,
have you ever seen two dogs coming running?
You often see, I'm not judging people, but on TikTok or on the Reels, on Facebook, whatever, you often see people having babies with dogs. You know what I mean? And they think it's cute, and the dog's lying on the baby and the baby's lying on the dog.
Yeah.
I mean, how would a dog view a toddler or a baby versus how a dog might view an adult? Do you know what I mean? Like, what is the psychology? Do people presume that the dog sees the baby as a puppy, as a friend, or what? Like, I mean, I presume our size and how we treat a dog, we get respect that way. I just would wonder, would you have concerns with people that allow young children and babies and toddlers to interact so much with their dog?
Well, the thing with dogs and babies, are always good dogs and bad dogs whenever it comes to actually working with children. And when I say bad dogs, I don't mean the dog is bad. I just mean that the circumstances and situation is bad. People put children into situations with dogs that is highly dangerous. And you just can't even fathom what they were thinking when they did it, you know. And then you've got children who can tease dogs. a dog could be fairly easygoing and level-headed and grand, mind his own business in his garden, and you've got children outside the fence teasing it. That dog then will change because it's now going to react to those children, and if it ever gets out, it's going to actually go after those children. So that, whose fault is that when you think of it, really? I mean, you have to educate children as well as dogs. The children are on almost face level with most dogs, like toddlers and a Labrador. They're practically on face level. So if an accident happens, if anything goes wrong, it's only one snap and it's the child's face that's going to get it, you know, or if they're lying on top of a dog. Dogs don't like to be hugged the way we like to be hugged. Sorry, they don't like to be hugged the way we like to be hugged, because they, if the dog comes up alongside another dog and puts his face against their neck like that, that's a challenge. Mm. They're actually challenging that other dog. So, you know, dogs will think through the mind of a dog. They don't think through the mind of a human. So therefore, they might see this as a challenge and they might turn around and snap to chastise that child, not meaning any harm, but because they have teeth and because the child's skin is not very thick, they will do damage, you know.
Yeah, now, I mean, I want to talk to you about what realistically we can do going forward. In other words, what might be likely to happen that would make a difference. But you put an awful lot of focus on dog owners and dog ownership. So with that in mind, do you favour the banning of certain breeds, Kathleen? Are certain breeds not really suitable for a domestic environment in how we care and look after our dogs? Or is it all about the humans for you?
Well, from somebody who has worked with all of those breeds, and I have worked, as I say, for many years with all of those breeds, I know those breeds really well, and I know what they're capable of, and I know what they're like to be a family members, to be as guard dogs, because I've worked with some of them as guard dogs and some of them. It depends on the situation you'd put the dog into. It also depends on the upbringing of the dog. If the dog is brought up properly, it doesn't matter what breed it is, it will have a certain basic education. It won't overreact in certain situations. But having said that, you know, bigger dogs have bigger jaws. They can, especially the fighting breeds, a lot of the bully breeds were bred for guard dogs and fighting. That was their main focus. But the bully breed now has been bred more or less for a companion. But it's still in its infancy. I mean, breeding takes a long time to breed out traits. And then again, as I say, you've got a dog that can change with circumstances. Circumstances can change even the best of dogs, you know. So it's very hard to say. You can't just say if it's a breed. But I will say that if you've got a dog with very powerful jaws, you need to be very powerfully responsible for that dog.
Right, so then what do you think we need to do as a nation, and maybe what's achievable, Kathleen, rather than what would be ideal, in terms of dog ownership and the responsibility and in terms of, like, do you think it's realistic that people should have to go through some sort of a course before they are themselves even, let's put it like this, licensed to own a dog?
Yeah, well, I think it goes further than back than that, Greg, because I think there's a lot of responsibility on breeders as well. You know, if you're breeding lots of dogs and you're handing them out to this one and that one, you don't know where that dog's going to end up. You don't know the circumstances that dog's going to go into. It's a responsibility when you pass that dog on to somebody else as well. And, you know, why breed them in the first place? You know, if they're going to be causing so many problems and they're not going to be suitable for family pets.
No, but it's a very lucrative business. And I think as soon as you start trying to interfere with that, that's when the pushback comes. You know, like, I just don't know if anything will be changed in that regard.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, they're breeding them.